Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
One of the most, first of all, welcome back. The two-hour show, rare thing. One of the most talented and interesting writers in this town is a freelance writer named Bob Cherito. Am I making too much of that, Bob? Is that too, too complimentary? One of the things, I've known Bob for, I don't know, 15, maybe 20 years, and he's a freelance writer. I used to be a freelance writer many years ago when there were four major newspapers in this town. And Bob has crafted his career when there are not four major newspapers in this town, but in a vastly different journalistic environment. I'm going to keep him on for at least 45 minutes tonight to talk about that life and his feelings about that business. Bob, I know you're a Chicagoan. I know your dad was a Marine, just like mine was. What, as a young man, influenced what became your career path?
Well, probably my mother influenced my career path more than anything. She was the English teacher when I was real young. And but my dad, I think the work ethic part definitely came into play.
What did he do?
And he was in international transportation. He was a freight forwarder.
Mm-hmm. And did he, I mean, did you, your mom obviously read a lot of stuff. Did you grow up with a lot of newspapers in your house?
Yeah, yeah. They were Tribune readers.
Okay. It wasn't okay. Yeah. Wasn't okay with me then, but, but it's a shrinking world of newspapering. When you were in high school, and maybe even before that, when did you start to feel the draw of writing? First, writing, because I'm not sure young people are drawn to say to themselves, "Ooh, I want to be a journalist."
Yeah, it was young. I think probably the first time I wrote anything newspaper related, I was in second grade, and then it was we had a little school paper in elementary school, and then of course high school.
What school and what elementary school and what high school?
Well, we had moved. I had grown up in Morrill's Park, and then we had moved to the Naperville area, and I went to St. Joan of Arc for junior high. And that was the first junior high kind of newspaper. And that was actually the only time I wrote sports.
I must tell you, Bob, and I read, now you have access to almost everything out there. I read all of Bob's pieces. We reconnect. We don't see each other because people don't go to bars anymore. But we just connected. I wrote him a note. I saw a review of a play, and I just sent him a note saying theater critic now. Good job.
Yeah.
And he sent back and he goes, "I've done this before." And I said something like, "Well, of course you have, because you've written about virtually everything before." What kind of came to kind of direct your writing and career? You said your second grade piece was your first sports reporting.
What directed my career?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you started with the sports thing. There is I hope you'll admit it, there is a huge kick, I think, to seeing your name atop
a
story. What did that feel like? Do you remember?
Oh, it's kind of an ego boost. You know, every time I make the front page of the New York Times, I frame it because not many people have gotten that. So
you've gone a long distance from a second grade. What was that second grade piece about? What was it about?
It was about a book. It was actually, that wasn't sports. That was about a book report contest in our class. And I happened to win it. So,
when did you start to? You couldn't have before high school thought, maybe journalism would be a good thing for me. When did that start to form as a possible career path?
I was probably in high school. Huh. I initially kind of always idolized like some of the foreign correspondents that learned about Terry Anderson and really got into his career. And, you know, he was a hostage Beirut. And so I was kind of idolizing those kind of guys. And then I got to know a little bit of Sidney Schamberg, who was
of course,
killing fields in Cambodia. And
was it the sense of, and I think there always was the sense of adventure inherent in what they were writing? I mean, you're a kid sitting in Chicago thinking, wow, I wonder what this is like to be in a foreign country in the middle.
I think there's some of that, you know, that whole kind of Hemingway kind of thing going. But, you know, then you also realize we have just as much of the craziness here in Chicago.
Well, you of most people I know, because you don't have a beat except for the large umbrella of news. And that combines all manner of mayhem and sometimes nice stories, but mostly stories about man's, I think, inhumanity to man. We'll talk about one of those specifically because Bob's going to stay on for a while. We got to take a little break, Bob. I've got Bob Schrader on the phone. You don't have a website, do you, Bob?
I don't. I have a Facebook page called Bob Schrader, Chicago Reporter, right? But I don't have the website anymore.
You should think about it, though. Yeah. Because, you know, one of the things about Bob is Bob has been in this business, as this business has been, and I don't know if you'd say it, if this business has been beaten up, don't you think? I mean, the number of outlets, we'll talk about that. I don't want to depress anybody. we'll be back in 2 or 3 minutes with Bob Schrader. Bob Schrader used to have a website. Now he has a Facebook page, so I'll spell his last name, Schrierito. He is I'm going to call every, Bob, don't you think every freelance writer is by necessity a workaholic?
If they want to survive, they are.
Yeah. Well, give me an example of a typical freelance morning. What neighborhood do you live in?
I live near Jefferson Park.
Okay. Your phone rings at 7 o'clock in the morning. Do you get nervous? Do you get excited? I used to do a lot of freelancing. How do you feel when that phone rings?
Usually I feel good or more on the excited side than nervous. You know, sometimes I can anticipate what's going, like, for instance, this weekend, I kind of been on call in case the Pope takes a turn for the worse.
Sure.
I know I'd have to go straight to Holy Name and talk to people there. But, you know, sometimes, 7 in the morning's actually a nice time. If 3 in the morning's kind of rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell people why. Why?
Well, because I usually, I try to always say yes to, as a freelancer, you know, I'm not a regular employee, so
right.
I technically could turn it down, but if you turn it down too much, they probably won't call anymore.
Yeah.
And you usually have 5 to 10 minutes to get on the road, and sometimes it could be a few hours away, and usually it's not anything good. Usually it's tornado or mass shooting or some kind of
When we've talked before, sometimes in a bar, sometimes not in a bar, it's so filled with surprise, and as you're detailing, often the invitation to travel the dark side of mankind. How do you gear up for that? I'm not trying to psychoanalyze you, but I find it really, really interesting. I'm trying to think back when that would happen to me, and you do not, unless it's a dire, dire situation, you do not ever say no. You sort of say, you generally have a relationship with someone who is calling you, someone of either the New York Times or the Sun-Times, the Tribune occasionally, magazines, the New York Times, with some frequency, and you have to keep that relationship healthy, don't you?
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, that's helped me. I've always been reliable, and you know, I welcome the calls. It, you know, even the 3 a.m. calls.
Yeah. What about, how did this, let's talk about this most recent, if you've been reading the papers, and I'm hoping you do, you've seen Bob's byline over the story of this gruesome murder, racially motivated, no question. How many days were you in court covering that?
Well, it was, what was it, 1 day of jury selection, yeah. And then
it was
4 days of...
It was a quick trial.
Yeah, it was a week. It was, which is, for a high-profile trial, that's really quick, you know.
And I know it's difficult for you to, you certainly don't do it in print, but in a situation like that, you have to have formed some opinion. I mean, I think this guy was mentally screwed up. The killer. You can't really do that in print, can you?
I mean, I'm not any kind of psychiatrist. I'm not sure what drove him to do what he did. But you know, the jury saw it pretty clearly. The evidence was pretty overwhelming, and it took them an hour. It took them from the time they got up to go deliberate. They got up from the jury box. I set a timer, and an hour and 6 minutes later, I got the text from the court clerk saying a verdict is in. So we had to race back to the courtroom. So,
wow. How do you think you, as a freelancer, you know, in some of these cases, you're the only reporter around. Is that's true? Yes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. A lot of the times, because they're just like, aren't those kind of avenues out there? Do you try to? You must try to form relationships with some of the principals involved in this thing, in all things. Yes.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, yeah, I think you want to let them know or have them realize you're going to call it straight. I'm not going to play favorites with anybody, but you know, but at the same time, I'm not going to slant something against them either. I mean,
right.
So, but yeah, sometimes, I mean, the court clerks and all those people, you know, they're usually pretty nice if you're nice to them. And I've gotten a lot of tips. I remember I was in bond court during the pandemic. Remember when the PP, the personal protection equipment, was really hard to get?
Oh, and, God, yeah, sure.
So I don't even remember what I was in bond court, who I was there for, but one of the clerks, she said, hey, listen for this name. And I could tell she was annoyed. And it turned out this person they were in the hospital for something, and they ended up getting into a supply closet and ripping off all this PPE. And so it turned into a pretty interesting big story because, you know, at the time it was so hard to get, and people were, it was early in the pandemic. We didn't know how bad it was going to be and all that. So, and that was just because that clerk liked me. So,
what was the most in recent years? I don't know where to cut this off. What's been the most frustrating case for you to cover?
Oh, it had to have been personally frustrating. The case of the U of I grad student who killed the foreign exchange student from China.
Yeah.
It was a brutal case, and she was here in the U.S. for about 6 weeks when he kidnapped her and tortured her, and it was just really bad. And that was a hard one. So,
how do you being in the middle of all this stuff, cases both both good and bad? How do you stay above it all? Do you know what I mean?
You can't
try to answer that. It's tough to answer, no question.
But luckily, I mean, because I don't have a specific beat every day, I could break it up. So You know, even though I do cover bad things a lot, I do try to break it up. In fact, Friday after the verdict, and luckily they, for logistics purposes, I was able to leave by, I think, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I met up with an artist, Val Terrazas, who's a really amazing story, great artist. So I'm working on a feature about her. So, you know, it's a great story about a kid who was a DACA dreamer. And it's really an inspiring story. And she's got her first show going on right now.
At the great Tony Fitzpatrick's gallery, yeah?
No, actually, she works for Tony Fitzpatrick.
That's right, that's right. Tony doesn't have a gallery anymore. That's right.
Yeah, he's got a place on Damon, but it's at the VS Gallery on North Milwaukee. I think it's like 700 North Milwaukee.
Yeah. Tony is one of our great mutual friends, and I know he knows a good story. Tony would have been a good city editor somewhere, don't you think?
Yeah,
he would have been very good one, because he's given us each a number of tips. How do you try to? I'm not going to say you cultivate, but how do you nurture those kind of friendships with people like Tony, for instance?
Oh wow. Well, Tony's a personal friend, so that's not hard. You know, we kind of go back and forth every other day about usually baseball stuff, busting each other's chops and that kind of thing. And I think he appreciates it just because I don't kiss his butt like so many other people do who don't know him that well.
That is true, boy. That is so, that is so true. I know you have a couple kids.
Yes.
How often do you see them?
Oh, I see them pretty much every week. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, I'll go a little longer than that just because they're really busy. They're seniors in high school.
Yeah, and they're ready to dump their dad, just like little Fiona. They're ready to dump you. How have you kept, you know, even explaining to the kids what you do? I mean, I'm sure they read your stories, maybe not all of them, but your stories every once in a while. Has that spawned at all a desire on their part to be a reporter?
No, which I'm actually kind of glad.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, although I think they do think what I do is cool. But yeah, my daughter's leaning towards either business or maybe going to dental school one day.
Uh-huh.
And my son is going to the Marines. So
is he? Is he like father, like son? What do you think? What do you think about that?
Like grandfather. Yeah.
Grandfather. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think it's great. I think it'll be good for him, and you know, it'll definitely force him to get his stuff together. So,
and get a haircut if he doesn't have one. We'll take a little break, Bob, and come back. I want to talk to you about your career. The freelance life is a very can be a very rewarding life because you can say no, and it can be a very frustrating life too because you don't always have money to pay your rent. I'm just basing this on my former freelance life. We'll be back after the news, which Bob will be listening intently so he doesn't have to run out and cover something, in a few minutes. Stay tuned, please. As I was just telling you and my guest, Bob Chirito, the freelance life is a very, very rough life. And Bob is a freelance journalist, and he's been at it for some time. Take me back, Bob, if you would, me and the listeners, to how it all started for you. I mean, you got out of college with a degree in what?
In journalism from Columbia, downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up at City News, the City News Bureau of Chicago, which you're well familiar with.
Tell people what City News was, because there'll never be another City News, you know that.
Yeah, it was a local wire service owned by, at the time, the Trib and the Sun-Times, and we supplied the TV, with news, hard news, mostly a lot of police stuff, City Hall. You know, we had various beats, education, that kind of thing. It ran 24 hours a day for 108 years, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
And, Yeah.
It was tough work, man. Talk about not being treated with the respect that a journalist should be treating with. There were some nasty cops out there who
nasty editors, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, they're always nasty editors. Did you enjoy those however many years you were there?
Yeah, I was there a couple of years. City News is kind of a love-hate place, I think.
Sure.
A lot of times when you were there, some of the abuse we took, you wanted to murder various editors.
Yes.
But, then you realized that they just make you better, and then you appreciate them more. And
it was traditionally referred to, and this goes to your grandfather, referred to as a boot camp, like a Marine boot camp. And you get to, the other thing, you get to know the city a bit, too. No question about that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So then what?
And then, good question. Where was I? I actually worked for, the Daily Law Bulletin. I had to think about this.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Who was the editor for you then?
It was Bernie. Bernie was the publisher.
Uh-huh.
Steve Brown, I think, was one of the editors.
Sure, sure. That's another interest. I didn't know that. That's an interesting beat, too. Your notion was, and it always has been for everybody who went to City News, from my father to Royko, was to get a job at one of the four major papers, maybe if you're not seeing
it.
And were there four? In those days?
No.
You're not as old as I am, yeah. So you're down to two papers. What, and obviously you were just starting a family, what did you want to do? What was your ideal career path at that point?
Well, I've always kind of, if it wasn't going to be covering some war overseas, it was going to be as a, either covering a Metro beat in Chicago or, I also, thought about maybe doing a column, something like that.
Sure.
Which actually I did in college, and I was a news editor, and then I was a weekly columnist, and always got a good response and a little bit of controversy.
The thing is, even as you're starting to build the foundation of a journalism career, newspapers are folding. The business itself is changing pretty radically. Did you start to think there might be something else that you might do? You and I both know people in journalism who went to TV. Even all the way back to Pam Zekman, Mike Flannery, and Richard Roper, and a lot of people doing that TV.
Yeah, I never seriously thought about TV. The problem is there's not much that I like besides doing what I do.
And,
if I don't like it, then I'm not doing a great job because my heart's not in it. So it's tough. Because I do love being a reporter, and I didn't want to go the editor route either. Really.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other. Yeah, that's another.
Yeah,
that's certainly another way to, I guess, to success. Who are some of the reporters whose work you admired during this time? Because there's always somebody.
Oh God, there's so many. Of course, like most other reporters, it was Royko as kid and all that. But then, the ones you were in, you mentioned Pam. I interned for Pam Zekman when I was in college. She was definitely somebody I admired and still do, even though she's retired.
Yes, she has. She didn't really want to retire, but she, time had come. And that gives you a good example of the business, because I think they, the idiot bosses are like, oh, they made so much money, and so. You see these people drifting away. I hope I've sort of heard that Pam might be working on a book, and I think that would be a great, great thing. How long have you been an unattached, meaning unattached to a...
Oh, it's probably at least 10 to 12 years, something like that.
Has it beaten you down? Has it beaten you down at any level?
No, I mean, there's pros and cons to it, I'll say that.
Tell me the pros and cons.
Well, the pros are that you're not stuck on one kind of beat, and you could kind of do what you want or what you find a lot of times. Obviously the cons are you don't have much stability, and, there are days when there's little going on, believe it or not. I've been pretty good at either being able to find national or local stories. If there's mm-hmm. not a national thing, there's a local thing, vice versa. You don't have the stability of, like a staff reporter. Then you don't get lazy either. I mean, I work with a lot of the staff reporters, the various outlets that I work for, and a lot of them are really great and make me better. But then there are some who kind of check out at 5 p.m. and it's kind of annoying.
Yes, there are.
The story sometimes doesn't stop or whatever. So, yeah.
Well, there's I've seen it happen to dozens of reporters. There's a complacency that sets in, mm-hmm. and that's what a steady paycheck will do. It's a really interesting kind of route that you have to select for yourself. Do you ever think of books?
Lately I have been kicking around one idea for a nonfiction book, and then I've also been working on a novel. So it's hard. I mean, a novel is really hard for me because people think, oh, you're a writer, you're a reporter, but it's like, no, I speak French and now I have to speak Chinese. I mean, it's totally different.
Absolutely. That's so, so true. You know, I'm thinking to myself that both your kids are seniors now, that they're leaving Chicago. I do know you can tell from your Facebook page how often you see them, and I know how often you do and how important that is to you as well. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're leaving, going off to college in the Marine Corps will give you a certain freedom that you haven't really had in their 18, 17 years. You know what I mean?
Oh, are you talking about leaving Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it's it's always a possibility. So
because you write. Who do you write mostly for? Is it the New York Times? That's where I see you most often.
I think probably mostly for them. I've been doing a decent amount of feature stories for the Sun Times and a few business stories lately as well, which is nice. And then a lot of other outlets that aren't that frequent, but I have decent relationships with pretty much all of them that I write for. And there's always a couple that I haven't written for that would be interesting to write for.
Who?
Well, I mean, obviously the Holy Grail would probably be the New Yorker.
And, no kidding. Yeah, no kidding.
I think Neil Steinberg just wrote about that. And
so did I. Yeah. So did I. We both were grabbed by it for different reasons.
The only person I know who was able to do it was DeRogatis with the R. Kelly stuff.
With the R. Kelly stuff. And, You're right.
Yeah. But they're pretty, not that.
Oh, it's a
the
tough.
New York Times or other places aren't tough. But
it's a tough door to crack. No, I mean, you've cracked the New York Times, which is, without question, the most esteemed newspaper in the land. The New Yorker would be a good one. That's a good thing to aim for, Bob. That's a good thing to aim for. What do you do in your spare time, if you have any spare time?
Good question. I like to get together with friends or go see music, that kind of thing, if I have some free time. Yeah. But even when I'm off, a lot of times I'm working on something that maybe it's a week out or something like that.
It's hard. It's hard for a freelancer to sort of turn him or herself off. You know what I mean?
It's hard. Although I think you have to do that at times too. Otherwise, you could burn out.
You drive yourself crazy.
You
have not hit. Have you in your career hit a period of burnout where you just said, I gotta get away for a while. I just need to pull myself out of.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, there are times when it's like I welcome a week off or something, but. Yeah. But not really a long step away period. And I think I've been able, like I said earlier, to mix it up where it's not all, you know, homicide. I mean, like in City News, when you're on that overnight homicide beat, that can be grinding.
Yeah.
And but you have to have a weird gallows sense of humor and not take everything anything personally, really. I mean, sometimes it's hard, you know, there's stories that are really upsetting and all that, but you just got to focus and do your job. And I guess for some people it's easier said than done, but
Do you have, there are not that many, I don't know if there are any freelancers with your energy and your talent out there these days. And I think you can be very proud of that, Bob Chirito. Very proud.
Yeah, thank you. No, thanks.
You're very welcome. Well, we'll have to take Tony Fitzpatrick to dinner one of these days, and that's good. I'm glad to hear about your kids too. That's good.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, they're great. They inspire me.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
What's your next story going to be? Do you have any idea? Or are you going to get a phone call at 3 o'clock this morning?
Yeah. I don't know, but. I do know this story about Val Terrazas, I'm working on a couple business stories for the Sun-Times. It'll be probably a couple weeks out. And then I do know I have to go to that Cremo trial at least on Tuesday. And, that's going to be a five-week trial.
Oh, yeah.
The Highland Park alleged shooter. We don't know. I was told we're not sure if they're going to cover it every day just because it's 5 weeks. So it's kind of in flux.
That's the Sun-Times told you that?
No, that's for the New York Times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know how these people who shoot guns a lot like to editors like to talk about them. Editors like to
have
them.
You know, I'm surprised this other story hasn't gotten more attention. It kind of died after a day that Antonio Reyes, who was arrested, a 21-year-old.
The serial killer guy?
Yeah, they think he killed six people in 2020, which would make him 16 years old.
I know. I was wondering that same thing. I was thinking there was going to be some big piece in Sunday's paper. But
I think, there are a lot of stories this week. It's been busy, but it goes back to the short staffs and all that. So that's unfortunate. I'm sure once he's on trial, it'll probably get more attention.
Yeah, unless they just make some kind of quick deal. But he just this is a real interesting case, no question.
Yeah, his age is really kind of.
Yeah. That's what I heard, too. I said, wait a minute. He did all this when he was a teenager.
Supposedly,
Very, very, very weird.
And this week will be busy with the Cremo trial starts tomorrow. And then, what's his name? Brandon, Mayor Johnson's going to testify in Congress. And that should be entertaining, if nothing else.
What do you have you done much on him? On our esteemed mayor?
Actually, no, I haven't. I've somehow avoided that. Mm-hmm. Not really on purpose.
Yeah, sure.
But
sure.
I just haven't. Yeah. And it'll be interesting. I don't know. I mean, it just seems a little weird why he's walking into that. I don't see what the advantage is for his administration to have him go there.
But. I don't either. Bob, it is always good to talk to you. I'm going to ask you one more question, then I'm going to play a song that I want you to hear. Have you ever heard of a woman named Hazel Scott?
No.
Okay. I'm writing about her, too, but she's long gone, but a very interesting story. And it's a story about how some people just, are erased by history. I just want to ask you, before we hear some commercials, What do you think of the future of newspapers?
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's enough.
I think they'll still be around in some form.
Well, I hope you are too. Seriously, you're keeping, you're keeping the vaunted and valued business of journalism alive. Bob, take care of yourself. I'll be reading you. You know that.
All right. Thanks, Rick. It's always a pleasure.
You betcha. Right, bye-bye. Thanks.